SBS Radio.
First Nations women are found dead with no explanation of the cause of their death. Queensland is close to finalising a treaty which will see Indigenous culture formally integrated into the state's future plans. And Labour leader Anthony Albanese has thrown his support behind coal exports. My name is Šárka Pechová and this is NITV Radio News. The ABC is reporting that some of the country's most vulnerable people are going missing and many never found. Numerous cases have been documented in Canada and Australia. In Canada, they are calling it genocide, but in Australia, some states aren't even keeping count. Some Australian academics have been studying these cases. Unlike their Canadian counterparts, they do not go as far as categorizing these deaths as genocide. They call them Indigenous femicides. These are well-documented cases where First Nations women are found dead in parks, in the streets or on rivers with no explanation to the cause of their death or whether they have been murdered. Speaking to NITV Radio earlier this year, Curtin University's Professor Suvendrini Pereira questioned the responsibility of state authorities for these deaths. She also categorizes these as seemingly mysterious deaths in the wider context of death in custody and extreme marginalization.
This is a phenomenon not only in Australia but also in Canada. A number of First Nations women are found dead in the streets, on rivers, in parks. And the question of what is the responsibility of state authorities for these deaths? I think these are rather complex questions, and these are the questions that we want to shine more of a light on in our project to get us to think about custody, not just as physical custody, but as other ways in which certain kinds of bodies, certain kinds of people are excluded, left on the margins of the society.
Queensland is close to finalising a treaty which will see Indigenous culture formally integrated into the state's future plans. Aboriginal academic and author Jackie Huggins is a co-chair of the panel consulting Queensland communities on how to negotiate treaties with First Nations people. Dr. Huggins says it's something the community has wanted for many years, and while the process will take time, she is confident future generations will continue the work. Treaties are used to right wrongs of the past and often help redefine the relationship between Australia's Indigenous and non-Indigenous communities. A specialist service has been launched to tackle one of Australia's most underreported issues, financial abuse. According to RMIT University, more than 2 million Australians have experienced or will experience financial abuse in their lifetime, and the majority of victims are women. When it comes to women with disability or long-term health condition, almost a quarter had a history of economic abuse. Financial abuse is typically prevalent among society's most vulnerable people. The Australian Institute of Family Studies said it's the most common form of abuse experienced by elderly people. And in some communities, poor health, remote living and poverty can make some Indigenous people more susceptible. Sydney woman Rachel Natoli is a domestic violence survivor who now runs the Lokahi Abuse Survivors Support Group. She says anyone can fall victim, and insecurity is a major factor.
It's not necessarily physical, it is emotional and financial. And when you are in a financially abusive relationship, it's much harder to leave. And they know that if they leave, they're going to be dragged through the family courts for years over the finances. And also, it's not a criminal act to withhold money from somebody in that relationship status. So you can't go to the police and expect them to protect you in the same way as if you're physically assaulted.
The federal government has discontinued funding of the peak body representing Indigenous survivors of domestic violence. As of June next year, there will be no national advocacy group representing Aboriginal domestic violence victims. NITV political correspondent in Canberra, Shani Wellington, explains.
The National Family Violence Prevention and Legal Services Forum represents 13 frontline organisations and has done for the past 7 years. The federal government has discontinued its funding, but claims the money will now be going directly to anti-family violence providers.
Antoinette Braybrook from National Family Violence Prevention and Legal Services Forum told NITV.
Now, we are concerned because not one of those recommendations in that report say that we, our secretariat should be defunded. In fact, every recommendation points to us requiring more resources to undertake our national work.
More than 1,000 people gathered on Friday in Brisbane to farewell human rights activist and writer Sam Watson. The Wanjiriboora and Berri Gubbaman, who died on Wednesday, 27th of November, at the age of 67, was an award-winning author, screenwriter and activist. Throughout his life, Sam was involved in numerous community organizations. He was known for helping to implement the finding of the Royal Commission onto Aboriginal death in custody. Each year, Sam Watson would be at the forefront of Invasion Day rally in Brisbane. Activist and writer Gary Foley, who was friends with Mr. Watson for 50 years, told NITV News.
He was a truly great man and a great example for all young warriors of resistance who might be out there today.
The Aged Care Royal Commission will begin examining the disparities in access to healthcare services today. The public hearing in Canberra will in particular focus on the lack of services in regional areas and failure of the aged care sector to create a nationwide approach to healthcare. Lawyers assisting the commission say it is not acceptable elderly people across Australia do not have equal access to healthcare, and the system needs to change to ensure everyone is supported. Firefighters in New South Wales are working tirelessly to contain fires before temperatures soar later this week. More favourable conditions on Sunday gave fire crews an opportunity to do some vital backburning and build containment lines ahead of Tuesday, when temperatures in some areas of the state are expected to reach above 40 degrees Celsius. Around 90 fires continue to burn across New South Wales, half of which are still not contained. Speaking to Sky News, New South Wales Rural Fire Service Deputy Commissioner Rob Rogers warns fire conditions will be severe over the coming days.
Tomorrow's going to see a worsening conditions, severe fire danger, shift back to westerly winds, very hot, 40 degrees in the west, very low humidity and gusty westerly winds. So another difficult day and another difficult week for firefighters and residents.
Total fire ban has been issued for Victoria's north and northwest regions as firefighters brace for scorching and windy conditions. The Mallee, Wimmera and Northern Country regions will be under a total fire ban today, with winds expected to reach 70 kilometres per hour in the northwest. Labour leader Anthony Albanese has thrown his support behind coal exports as he begins a tour of regional Queensland. Mr. Albanese argues Australia can continue to mine and export coal while also having strong climate change policies. He says if Australia stops exporting coal, the demand for coal won't decrease, countries will just source it elsewhere. Federal Labour MP Peter Khalil says there is a global humanitarian crisis when it comes to refugees. Mr. Khalil made the comments in a speech today ahead of the inaugural Global Refugee Forum next week. He says the international community needs to do more to address the refugee crisis and is hopeful the forum will take efforts to step closer to finding a solution.
The international community is not pulling its weight in actually addressing this crisis. Just in the last calendar year, out of the 26 million refugees registered by the UNHCR, only 92,000 were resettled in recipient countries. I mean, that is a minuscule, tiny number compared to the extent and the scale of the problem.
Australia accepted and resettled over 12,000 refugees during 2018. Melbourne has celebrated Curry Christmas yesterday. The all-day family-friendly event is an initiative of the Curry Heritage Trust. Curry Christmas activities revolve around the Curry Christmas Market, showcasing craft and design from the Victorian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community. Tom Mosby, CEO of the Curry Heritage Trust, explained to NITV Radio.
It's about celebrating Christmas and leading up to the Christmas period, but with a Curry twist. And so it's Koori with a K and Christmas with a K, and it's about actually presenting a Black Christmas at Federation Square.
The celebrations included a range of free workshops for kids and families, as well as performances from various artists. People could buy original Koori Christmas gifts, including jewellery, hand-woven baskets, artwork, clothes, native bush products, and much more. Overseas now. Activists of all ages from all around the world have gathered in Madrid to call on political leaders at the COP25 summit to take real action on climate change. Representatives of Latin America's indigenous peoples largely led the march, which was attended by climate activist Greta Thunberg. The 16-year-old, who is setting an example on sustainable travel, sailed from the United States to Portugal before catching a train to attend the summit. Addressing the rally, Ms. Thunberg said it is vital they keep pressuring governments to take action.
The current world leaders are betraying us, and we will not let that happen anymore. We will not let them get away with it anymore. We say enough now. And change is coming, whether you like it or not.
Organizers claim the march was attended by 500,000 people. However, the authorities in Madrid put the attendance at 15,000. To sports now, and in football. Everton are investigating reports of homophobic chanting during their Premier League game against Chelsea. The abuse was allegedly directed at visiting Blues fans during Everton's 3-1 win at Goodison Park. In the statement, Everton condemned the reports and reiterated the club will not tolerate homophobia. And let's have a look at the weather now. Broome, mostly sunny with the tops of 37. Perth, sunny, 29 degrees. Adelaide, partly cloudy, tops of 27. Melbourne, late cool change, tops of 38. Hobart, hot and partly cloudy with the tops of 31. Albury, Wodonga, mostly sunny with the tops of 38. Canberra, smog haze and temperature of 36 degrees. Sydney will be becoming windy with a smog haze with the tops of 28. Brisbane will also have some smog haze with the tops of 30. Townsville, mostly sunny with the tops of 33. Cairns, also mostly sunny with the tops of 32. Darwin, partly cloudy, 36. Alice Springs, sunny with the tops of 43 degrees. And Torres Strait Islands will be mostly sunny. There is a chance of a thunderstorm offshore west of Cape York, tops of 27.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.